chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. And I'm excited. We haven't had anybody get saved this week, but the West Central Revival is around the corner. Can't wait to share some good news about those things. Revelation chapter 9, verse number 13. And love the Word of God. I'm just a student of it. I don't know everything about it. And I learn from reading it, from looking into some other commentaries from time to time. But then I tell you, the Holy Ghost is our teacher. He is responsible for all those things. And after we read this, I want to tell you just a neat story in my life, okay? Verse number 13 of Revelation 9. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. The heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Okay, let's be seated, and we'll see if we can get through all this today. Father, bless your word. Thank you for it. I ask for wisdom. I sure lack it, and I need it. And thank you for doing so many wonderful things. Lord, if you shut the faucet of blessings off for Bible Baptist Church, I would never be able to accuse you for not already being so good to us. So thank you for this place we can meet in, people to meet with, and the promise that we meet for Jesus coming back. And all these things we ask in his name, amen. Okay, well, last week we were talking about this fifth trumpet, the first woe. We're going to look at the second woe of threes, woe, woe, woe. And I had studied and tried to prepare some things, and looking at kind of a, as I said, the first supernatural army in these last verses we just read, the second supernatural army. And the first one were locusts that came out of the earth, and we talked about some of those things last week. But I really did not write this thought down, and the thought just hit me while I was preaching last week. And I'm not like trying to promote frogging it. That's fully relying on God, if you've never heard that. Every once in a while, I hear somebody say, "What'd you teach on?" He said, "I just frogged it. I fully relied on God." I don't like to do that when it comes to sermon preparation. I like to have some things that I've already studied out and thought out. But I really did not have a sense of just some application or something that we can use in our daily life. And while we were reading the passage last week, it just hit me that God was giving them space to repent. God was giving them space to repent. That's why those scorpions could not kill the men, could only hurt them. And from that thought on, I haven't got over that thought the whole week. I've just been thinking about the space that God gave to Nineveh, the space that God gives to people to repent when there's a call and a confrontation, and that has to happen. But then there's God has grace. And even in this tribulation, the first woe is grace. The second woe is less grace. And the third woe, it's gone. It's 100%. It's wrath and it's judgment. And so just thinking about the way this goes, in chapter 9, the locusts couldn't hurt anybody. And then the second part of chapter 9, one-third of the people are killed. One-third of these things. It's kind of just progresses as you go on. And then, boy, finally, it's going to be there's no answer. And the Armageddon happens, and every foe of the Lord is vanquished. So even in judgment, you see God's heart and God's hand reaching out. I think of the door of the ark was opened until God shut it. Preach, Noah, prepare, Noah, prepare, Noah. When do I shut the door? I'll shut the door. And right as the rain started coming, he shuts the door. And then God's just reaching out. And boy, what a theme and a thought of how long will God reach out to somebody for repentance. Well, in this passage, we got a lot to work through. So first of all, I want you to see that there's four angels that are bound. See this picture in verse 13 and 14? He told the sixth angel, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. I would say because they're bound, we're probably talking about bad angels. The word bound means tied up. In Matthew 12, Matthew 14, Matthew 21, they're all the instances of that phrase or that Greek word that's translated bound means they're bound. They're tied up. They can't do what they want. Paul talked about, I'm bound to go to Rome and ready to be bound and so forth. In Revelation 20, since we're in Revelation, look at verse number 2, Revelation 22. And it says that same phrase. And so just trying to get some textual understanding. I think we got bad angels and they're bound waiting to get loose and to cause havoc. Look at chapter 20, verse number 2. It says that this angel laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and did what? 1,000 years? Bound. He's not able to do anything that he wants to do. He's bound. That was my strategy with little kids after a while. I'd try to get discipline, and finally, when they're toddler age, I just bound them. I just wrap them up and hold them until they realize they can't do what they want. They got to submit. Amen. And some of my kids have learned quicker than others. I've bound them for 45 minutes with my arms, hugging them for four, waiting for them to give in. But it only takes a few times like that. And then they start to realize, wow, I can't just do whatever I want. Well, these angels have been waiting. I don't know exactly how long, but it says that not only are they pictured bound, but look, they're planned angels. Look at verse number 15. And the four angels were loosed which were prepared. They're prepared. Can God use bad angels? Yeah. He used bad kingdoms. He used bad kings. He used... God is omniscient and omnipotent and all-knowing, all-powerful. He's able to use all those things. It's like Will from the back room. That's right, amen. We can hear Will's amen all over the building. But it's almost, I see some of those jiu-jitsu fighters that when you throw a punch, they use your energy against you. You know, they're able to take what you meant for bad and turn it for their good. God can work through all those things. If God can work through the Holocaust to bring a nation of Israel back to existence, if God can work through wars and regional wars to bring people the gospel, when Brother Butler was here and announced the numbers of Christians in Iran, that just, I've never got over that. How 25 years ago there were thousands of Christians and now there are millions of Christians in Iran, Afghanistan. What we don't see going on behind the geopolitics of the world, you should trust God's hand that He allows refugees to be reunited with the Bible. Henry Benach was at Mount Orb this last week, and my mom was telling me she was just so amazed at some of the stories. Henry Benach is one of our missionaries. He's out to reach Jews and spent years and years going to Ukraine, 20-some years making 4 and 5 trips or 3 and 4 trips a year, doing evangelistic outreaches. And he was on the border of Turkey handing out Bibles the month before the invasion of Russia into Ukraine. He said, he told the church that he literally had to get out of the way, afraid of being trampled for people trying to get Bibles as he was giving them out. And they were going to soldiers who might already be in eternity today. Amazing. God works through all these things when we don't see Him. And these angels are prepared. The verse says, that they are prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year. I don't think that that means it's going to take them 300 and some odd days to do their duty. I think they were prepared for a specific day, hour, month, when it's going to happen. So, do you think the Lord knows the day he's going to return? Yep. I totally do. Let me show you a verse that, one more thing. Let's get their purpose, okay? The purpose of these angels, and then we'll talk about that. Verse number 16 says, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. I heard the number of them, and I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them. And I missed my verse. Go back to verse 15. There we go. Then the four angels were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year. What were they prepared to do? To slay the third part of men. Again, I don't know if this is a regional prophecy or if it's worldwide. I kind of anticipate it's worldwide. I don't think that the angels are limited where they can go to do what they're supposed to do. I don't think that they're just, well, we can't go past the Middle East border. I would suggest these angels' purpose is to start bringing the attention. Oh, you didn't listen? You didn't come to repentance when you were tormented 5 months and you weren't allowed to die? Well, now a third of the people are going to die. I wonder which third it would be. Is it just randomly? I would say it'd be the third of the most reprobate, the third of the most insistent upon not repenting. I don't know that for sure. I'm just giving you some preacher commentary. But God kind of knows what's going on inside of someone's heart, doesn't he? He's not limited in his knowledge of anyone's head or mind or heart. And how would he decide which ones that would be killed? The Bible says that these angels were prepared and their purpose is to slay one third of the men. If that were the number, just to get a glimpse of this, let's say there's 7 billion people on the planet. A third of them, that's a little over 2 billion people. That's 7 times the population of the United States of America. So just wipe out everybody in the whole country 7 times over. That's what we're talking about with these four angels and their army of 200,000 horsemen. 200 million. I heard the number of them. Wow, what kind of destruction would that be? It says by verse 18, by these three was the third part of men killed, fire, smoke, brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. So I wanted to take you to a side note. The picture of these angels, their plan, their purpose. It mentions that the horsemen had horse bodies, lion heads, mouths that had smoke and brimstone, tails like serpents, and had heads. It's somewhat similar to locust creatures that were like horses prepared to battle in the early part of the chapter. It's like this first one didn't get your attention. Here's a little stronger of the same thing that ought to get everyone's attention. Now again, just a side note, I will give you a couple of verses to think about. Go with me back to Acts 15, verse 18. And I don't have every bit of knowledge, and I'm just, like I said, sometimes I'll give you my opinion, and my opinion's probably like everybody else's. They all stink, right? Like everybody's armpits, right? We all stink. But Acts 15, 18. By the way, if you didn't hear what I learned from the ladies Métis, I was doing the sound booth, but Mindy was talking and she was giving some funny lessons, and she said that if I ever can't be found, just call my kids. They can find me any place I hide all 24 hours of the day. So if I'm ever lost, just grab my kids and they'll find me because I can't get away from them. And then she said that common sense is like deodorant. The people who really need it never use it. Amen. That's a good thought too. Acts 15, 18, let me give you this thing. It says, known unto who are all his works from the beginning of the world. I believe that Jesus is God, amen? And I believe all the works from the beginning are known by God. And that brings us to one problematic verse. And I know that people have asked me this and contemplated it. And if you don't know an answer for it, I'm going to just give you it real quickly. It's in Mark 13, 32. It's the only place it's found where it seems to give an incomplete knowledge of Jesus. And there's a lot of explanations that can be given for this, but I believe Jesus is God. So I just want to give you this argument that people might make. God knows it all. He knows which one-third of the people are going to get killed. He knows the day and the hour, the time that the angels are going to be loosed. This is where this thought is coming from. Mark 13, 32, and the Bible says, "But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is." I'm talking about the time of the Lord's return. And so the problem is there something Jesus doesn't, quote, know, like aware of? And the answer could be, well, in his humanity, there's some limits. He thirsted, he died. I get that, but Jesus knew people's thoughts. He knew the temple was going to be destroyed. He knew the signs of his coming. He relayed all them. So I've never bought that answer. And people use this to say Jesus is not God. If you ever argue with someone, Mormons will bring you this verse. Jehovah's Witnesses will bring you this verse. People who don't know where they stand will look at this verse and say, well, Jesus doesn't know something. Maybe he's not God. That's not the case. Jesus knows everything. He is God. Well, then what does this verse mean? Well, whenever I find a problem in the Bible, it's usually between this ear and that ear, okay? It's usually not on the page of Scripture. It's just in my mind. I don't know all the answers. But this one has helped me immensely. And I want you to hold your place here and go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And I want you to see how that word, the same Greek word, if you're a scholar, it's the same English word translated, no. I want you to see how it's used here and let you understand my explanation of why Jesus did not, quote, know the hour, and the angels did not know, only the Father in Mark chapter 13. Ready? 1 Corinthians 2, look at verse 1 and 2. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Paul is telling the Corinthians, I didn't come speaking great swelling words. It says in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see the way that word "know" is used there? I determined not to know anything among you. Is Paul saying he doesn't know anything else but the resurrection of Jesus Christ? He's saying, I didn't teach you anything else except the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The word in 1 Corinthians 2:1, "know," is used to describe teaching or bringing up or making known. Look at that. "For I determined not to know anything among you." Is Paul saying, well, I just don't know anything else in the whole Bible except for Jesus being resurrected? That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I determined to only teach you about Jesus and the resurrection. Now watch. Take that back to Jesus, and here's what the Bible is saying. The angels aren't going to teach you. Jesus is not going to teach you the day of his return. That's not for him to make known. Only the Father. He'll make it known to anyone he wants. It doesn't say Jesus doesn't know when he's going to return. Mark 13 is saying Jesus is not going to teach you the day he's going to return. Is there a day planned? Yes. The angels are prepared for a day, an hour, and a month to be released out of the river Euphrates. If that day is prepared, the day of Jesus' return relative to that has to be prepared. Amen. Did Jesus know when he's going to return? Absolutely. He's not ignorant of anything. He's God in human flesh. Does he reveal everything? No. No, he didn't reveal everything while he was on earth. That's a progressive revelation. The Holy Ghost will be your teacher. He shall reveal all things to you. That's what Mark 13 is really saying, in my opinion. And you can look at it, and there have been scholars. Jameson Fauston Brown said there was a split on the theologians. Some said he just wasn't going to teach it. Others said he didn't know it as a human. Well, I'm going to go with the ones who said he just didn't teach it, because I don't think you can limit Jesus at all. He's God in human flesh, who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus, whatever hold you have on it, he is God, okay? But that's the question that some people have used to doubt the divinity of Christ, and that's why I'm bringing it up to you, okay? Go back to Revelation. Man, I got one more important thought I got to get through. So, we got these four angels. They're in the River Euphrates. They're prepared. Their purpose is to slay one-third of the men. I would suggest it's the whole earth, not just that region of people. The plague, I believe, is to, again, reiterate the need of repentance. Look at verse number 18. The picture of the horsemen and the army, they're supernatural. It's not little helicopters with people flying them. This is a supernatural. They're led by four angels that were bound, okay? This is something that God is allowing to happen, and it's not of this normal worldly course. For their power, it says, verse 18, by these three was a third part of men killed, fire, smoke, brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. I don't think it's describing some military machinery. I think it's just telling you how it's going to happen. And the verse 20 says, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. Now, what is the initial accusation? It's that they should not worship devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Get this real. This is a huge point. The accusation is not necessarily about their works that come from worshiping these devils. He's going to cover that in a second, because that's what they wouldn't stop doing. But the accusation is, you're worshiping devils. That's where every other manifestation of sin comes from. There's all kinds of manifestation of sin. Sexual, stealing, lying, cheating, all those things. But it goes back to who you're going to worship. Who are you going to worship? You worship yourself, you'll probably steal. You worship yourself, you'll probably be a fornicator or an adulterer. You worship yourself, you'll probably... Amen? You worship money, you'll probably do others wrong. You'll probably love money more than people, and you'll probably treat your neighbor wrong. Whatever you're worshiping besides God, it will manifest itself with some other sin. The sin is like, it's like the factor, or, okay, here's the symptoms. What's the sin? You're worshiping the wrong thing. Just... the symptom may be this specific sin, but what's the problem? You're not worshiping God. You're not submitting to God. You're not adoring God. You've made something else more important than what God says. All these other things are symptoms, but you want to get to the root cause? Look, he says, they would not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols. Now look at verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, sorceries, fornication, and their thefts. I skipped the parallel that these scorpion horse heads are kind of like the beginning of chapter 9, the party of three, the brimstone, the fire, and the smoke, how they're killing people. I want to get to this, the prophecy of Pharmakeios. The prophecy of Pharmakeios. This is like an eye-opener to me. And I remember preaching this a few years back, and a lady said, boy, I wish I'd have heard this 25 years ago. And she got off all of her extra mental meds and is doing fine. It's amazing. She said, for 20 years, I've been a zombie. Now, you got to measure this out. You got to figure out how it applies to each individual. But when I read this list of murders, fornication, thefts, those three make sense to me that people might not want to stop fornicating. Okay? They might not want to stop stealing. Okay, I get that. They like their stuff. They like their sex. They like their murders, because when you get thieving and sexual things, usually anger and all the things come. Okay, I get that. But their Ouija boards? Their Harry Potter movies? They wouldn't repent of their sorceries? The Disney Magic Kingdom stuff? What's going on here? The word sorcery is the Greek word pharmakeos. This is a total eye-opener. The word translated sorcery is the same word we get pharmaceutical from. It's drugs. That's what they would not repent of. And in 2022, being at Tri-County Jail every week, I know what people will not repent of. They won't stop doing substance and drugs. There was a guy in there, he said, well, I guess I got to go to West Central. I said, yeah, you ought to. He said, yeah. Like, just another thing to try to get me off substance. Ha, ha, ha. Like, they ain't going to do it. They're not going to get me to quit doing what I do. The world is throwing so much money. Have you heard of opiate? Politicians talking about the war on drugs and opiate. We've been in the war on drugs since Ronald Reagan. Ever since you've been born. And a lot of it is being supplied. You think there's just some little farmers down in Mexico making cocaine and making opiates and just selling it? You think they're, I know what we're going to do. We're going to get in our field. We're going to make some opiates and we're going to ship it to America. There is way bigger people involved and way more horrible origins than just some farmer out in the middle of Afghanistan. Did you know there's drugs in Afghanistan, by the way? You know that's where a lot of drugs are coming from last 20-some years? Let me show you this. Go to Revelation 18. It's not just a one-hit wonder. And you can do your own study, and you can. Once you duck-duck-go that one, because you don't want people tracking you when you're searching for it, you can look at pharmakeos, and there's a big rabbit hole. I don't need the rabbit hole. I got the Word of God to tell me what's going to be at the end of the time. But look at Revelation 18:23. This is the heavenly view of Babylon falling. Verse 20, 18:20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast in the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. The voice of harpers, musicians, pipers, trumpeters shall be heard no more. No craftsman, for whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy pharmakeos were all nations deceived. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Sorceries. They were selling Ouija boards to the whole world? No, they were selling drugs, and they convinced the whole world that you need it or you can't live without it. And I'm telling you, well, preacher, does that mean I can't take Pepto-Bismol? No, take some Pepto-Bismol when you got a bad stomachache. I'm not saying you throw out every medicinal thing, but I'm telling you, be careful, because the world is deceived. And that's what Revelation says. And how? It's what men will not repent of. Murders, thefts, fornication, and sorceries. That's what the Bible says. It's amazing. All through the hundreds of years of our English language, I know that people used to call alcohol spirits. Remember that? You know why they call it that? Because you get the mad drunk, the happy drunk, the angry drunk, the laughing drunk, the forgetting drunk, and the crying drunk. You get all these different spirits that the guy who's drunk never acted like unless he got drunk. Yep. Right. And it's like he had another spirit controlling him. Man. What's sorcery? Being controlled by magic, where they become somebody that they're not. And friend, Go ask somebody who's got off heroin what they were like when they were on heroin, and they'll tell you, I was an animal. I was a different person. I can't believe what I lived like, acted like. This is just sorcery, pharmakeos 101. Revelation chapter 9. When was our Bible translated? 1600s? Did they have a problem with opiates in the 1600s? Maybe they did. We sure do in the last days of our world. How does God know these things? Because he's God. He knows it all. Jesus is not ignorant of anything. Revelation 9, the woes get us to the point that they will not repent. First of all, what do you need to repent of? You need to repent of the other God you're worshiping besides Jesus. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Jesus received worship. The guy in John 9 that he healed being blind bowed down and worshiped Jesus. Jesus didn't say, stop, don't worship me, I'm just the Son of God. Yeah. He did not say, no, only worship the Father. He let him worship him. And all throughout the New Testament, the thing that people need to repent of, first of all, is who they're worshiping. Once you get that one down and you've got the right God and you've got Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then we can start repenting of the symptoms. The murders, the thieving, the fornicating, all those other things, those are symptoms of the worst root cause of the initial sin because we want to be like God and the devil wanted to be like God. And that is the attempt to thwart the very first of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And so in Revelation 9, the second woe, the prophecy of pharmakeos. You know it's a work of the flesh in Galatians 5:20. That same word is translated, pharmakeos, three times in the New Testament. It's translated. I'll turn there and read it. Galatians 5:20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. The word witchcraft is that same Greek word, pharmakeos. It is a sin of the flesh. And you know what? When people, have you ever heard of them being drug sick? That's the term that they use because they've had so much drugs, and then when they try to get off, their body is sick and withdrawing and wanting that specific thing. And you go, oh, I feel horrible. What's wrong with me? You're coming off of pharmakeos. And your body, that flesh is like, no, give it to me. You know, the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And you know where drugs go? In your bloodstream. Interesting. The life of the flesh is in the blood. You don't get IVs in your hair follicles. you get it in your veins. Your blood. Just crazy how this Bible, it's not crazy. It's just reassuring that this Bible is true in every facet and every place. Preacher, are you telling us we got to get rid of... I said, no, balance this out. I'm just telling you that the Bible says they would not repent of sorcery. And when it's changing your mind, altering who you are, oh my goodness, people have told me, wow, I just didn't feel the same when I was on this... fill in the blank. Yeah. I just didn't feel right when I was on this... throw it out.
Yeah, come on.
There's something going on there. And I know they're practicing medicine. I'm not telling you that the whole medical profession is a bunch of Satan worshipers, but I'll tell you this. The Bible says the merchants of the earth deceived all the nations. They deceived. You don't know you're deceived unless you're not deceived. If you knew it, you wouldn't be deceived. You're deceived when you don't know what's going on and you think this is true and it's not. Okay, there went the hole off the rabbit hole, the cap off the rabbit hole. There's a big tunnel. Take the red pill, the blue pill. No, I'm just teasing, okay? But I'm just telling you that that's in Revelation and we're studying it and it ought at least open your eyes to say, man, I just want to reevaluate what's going on around this world. And Aren't you glad our government's fighting the battle of drugs? Does anybody believe what the government says? Wholeheartedly, no. Rand Paul said, the whole government is the disinformation organization of the world. It's the government, and now you're going to make a board to stop disinformation? You've been peddling it for the whole existence of our country. That's what Rand Paul said this last week. Interesting fellow, that Rand Paul guy. Oh, my goodness. I don't have all the answers for what you do until then, but if anybody ought to be wise, it ought to be God's people, because we trust the page of this book. And the Christians in Jesus' day couldn't keep Jesus from dying. Amen? Peter said, no, it's not going to happen, Lord. I'll get out my sword. He said, put away your sword. Get behind me, Satan. You're not going to die, Lord. Yes, I am. It has to happen. Peter would have loved to spare the Lord, chop off a few ears, and keep the Lord. No, and then Peter was the one that denied him right after that. I'm not saying that we put our heads in the sand and just wait for it to happen. We ought to be vigilant, but we ought to just be doing the work of the Lord, because these things are bringing people to realize you got to repent. Repent. We're not going to repent. Worship God. That's what it is. Okay. A guy yesterday told me this. I saw him Monday when we were preaching at the jail, and then I went in to do some business there. And he was in the lobby. He said, hey, I look a lot better. I said, yes, you do. You look great. He said, I'm getting out. I'm like, that's awesome. And he said, you know, I might come to church sometime. I said, well, you ought to go to church all the time. You're welcome to come visit, but you ought to go to church all the time. He said, well, I used to read the Bible. And I said, you can learn it all, but that doesn't lessen your need to worship God. Y'all say amen. Well, I used to read the whole Bible. What? Great. Wonderful. I'm glad your eyes and your mind has been illuminated. Are you worshiping God? Because going to church, yes, I hope you learn. Yes, I hope that you gain some blessing. I'm coming to worship God. He deserves it, whether I get anything at all. I come to worship God. I come to worship God. I come to worship God. That is the call. It's all of that involved.
If you read like the Book of Mormon just for knowledge reasons, is that a sin?
I don't think there's anything a sin with trying to figure out things, but if you read the Book of Mormon, you'll realize it's false.
But I mean just other religions too read that.
The only danger is this. When FBI agents, here I go talking about government, or CIA agents, when they are trying to find counterfeit dollar bills, they don't let them study all the counterfeits. They have them study the real dollar bill in such detail that when they see anything that is different from that real one, they know it's a counterfeit.
Yeah, that's right.
So you can look into things. Don't, you know, go for it. I'm not saying I would never forbid somebody from trying to study and trying to learn. I just think that make sure that this is the main thing that we study and learn, because I haven't accomplished this one yet. I'm still studying it. I'm still learning. So And get some things. It's wonderful to have some more knowledge of all those sources. I don't think it's a sin. No, I don't think that's a sin to look into those things. I think it would be, maybe if we looked at it more and we look into this, keep the balance and put things first. But yeah, you can. It probably needs to be done so you can realize, hey, this is wrong. This is in complete contradiction. Joseph Smith said this. It's been purported. And I can't quote it just exactly. Here's what he was saying, that there's one God, but I'm going to remove the veil to show you that everyone can be gods, and that you must go through this trial period of obedience so you can be a God too. That's what Joseph Smith said. He said, I'm going to remove the veil. It's been said there's one God. No, you can be gods. That's the veil that he supposedly revealed for Mormonism. That you are just like Elohim, and that you can grow up to be God too. Okay, we got to quit. Let's pray. Every head bowed. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the day. Thank you.